everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. She was 11 years old when she would encounter her first vision of the God she resisted. And this after lying when asked if she knew Jesus. Why? As Janine puts it, quote, "to get those church folks off my back," end quote. What happened next, however, would not only radically change the heart of this 11-year-old Southern Baptist girl, but in the subsequent years to follow, would only be the beginning of the signs, wonders, and miracles that would follow, even to the raising of the dead. Would you welcome with me today in part one of my two-part conversation, prophetic revivalist, speaker, sought-after radio and television guest for such programs as TBN, Daystar, Sid Roth's It's Supernatural, and a host of others both here and abroad, and finally, founder and president of Fullness Ministries, and my honored friend and guest, Miss Janine Fox. Janine, welcome to Testimony.
Well, thank you, Jensine. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it is great to have you, Janine. You have traveled the globe telling your story, but that is probably the last thing you thought you would ever be doing. Can you take our audience back to your early beginnings, how you came to know Jesus, what transpired from there, and then, for part two, I would love to continue our talk on the importance of the Holy Spirit's power in a Christian's walk and the miracles you've experienced because of it. Janine, please tell us your story.
Well, I got saved from my father's conversion to Jesus Christ. He was not a believer. He was running away from God, a good man, but needed God into everything. And he had a praying mother who told him, "Homer, you need to give your life to Christ." But he ran the other way. One day, he was in a car with three other men, and they did not see the sign that said, "Dead end, don't go any further." And the car was going very fast, and they flew over an embankment where there was water, like a small lake. And as the car was actually getting ready to go into the air, falling into the water, my father did what all he knew to do was to call on the name of Jesus. He made a vow in those split seconds that if God would save his life, that he would serve him. And all I know is that he told me there was a wind that came that propelled the car forward. He saw like a hand come underneath the car and actually lift that car through the air onto the other side of the embankment so it did not fall in the river. That was absolutely impossible how far the car flew over the embankment. To the other side, the car revolved like a Coke can, and three men walked out of the car without one scratch, although the car was totally totaled. He gave his life to Christ that evening. And I saw the father I had never seen. He didn't come home very often, but he came home that weekend to let us know that he had given his life to Christ. He had a halo on his face. His countenance was different. There was a peace about him. And for the first time I knew, you know, I think God's with Daddy. I mean, something differently has changed. And he immediately said, "We're all going to go to church. I'm going to be the father that you never had, and this is going to be a Christian home, and things are going to be different." So he started going to the Baptist church in Detroit, Michigan. And he, because of him being a lawyer and him being a very excellent man, a great man, he was promoted very quickly, and within 1 year he became almost like a deacon and then an associate pastor of the church. But I didn't want to have anything to do with God. I was on radio and TV at the time on a talk show host called Teen Profile, had a lot going for me, didn't believe in God, didn't want to give my life to God, and I would hide in the balcony every Sunday. But the ushers would come up wanting me to give my life to Christ, and they would sing a song, and it went like this: "Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus right now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you. save you right now. And, you know, I would cringe when they'd sing that song to me, but I didn't know that was a conviction of the Holy Spirit. But I got so tired of them every Sunday asking me to give my life to Christ, I made up my mind that I would. I would lie. I would fake an altar call. I said to myself, if they think I'm saved, then no one will ask me to give my life to Christ. They'll leave me alone. So I'm just going to go through the motions. I mean, all they do is just ask a few questions if you know Jesus, and the person says yes. And I didn't think anything was going to happen. So that Sunday, when the ushers came up to the balcony to hold out their hands inviting me to come to Christ, they said, "Come to Jesus." And I sang, "I am coming."
Wow.
And they almost just flew out of their seats, tears, laughter. I went downstairs, followed them down to the front of the church. Everyone started crying. My mom, praise the Lord, Janine's given her life to Christ. Everyone was in tears, and I walked up to the preacher with his black robes on. He was in tears, and he said, "Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah." He said, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And right when I was getting ready to open my mouth to lie, not coming from my heart, something happened. All I can describe is that there was an invisible force. It was the immortal, invisible God, the Almighty God. I could not see him with my natural eyes, but I could see him with my spiritual eyes. I could feel his presence. He stood right between me and that preacher, and now all I could see was God Almighty. And he was looking at me face to face. And immediately I'm thinking, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There is a God. Oh, my God. He's standing right in front of me." My whole life passed before me. It was like a movie began to fly through my mind, and I saw everything I've done wrong as a child. Every time I lied to my parents, every time I disobeyed them, the time when I, you know, did things that hurt them, my whole life sped before me, and I knew I was a sinner. I had a revelation that I had sinned from God, that I was on my way to hell, and that I was really going to go to hell now, that I was going to lie to God. A fear struck my heart, but immediately as this whole encounter is going on, the Holy Spirit, it was a force of vibration, a force of energy, but it became love. It was billows of love. Love started flowing over my soul, and I heard him speak to my mind, and he said, "Janine, I did not come to kill you. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And I could feel unconditional love, a love that I've never felt in my whole life, going through every cell, washing me, and I'm thinking, "Oh, my goodness, this is what I've always wanted. This is what I've dream for, someone to love me unconditionally." And I was standing in the presence of love. That's all I can describe, was that he was love, oceans of love. And for the first time, tears ran down my eyes, and out of my heart came a confession that was no longer a false confession, but it was from the depths of my heart. And I said, "Yes, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And I got saved right there at that altar on Sunday morning.
Praise God. And Janine, you were 11 years old at that time.
Yes.
And for those who may have just tuned in, you are listening to Janine Fox, prophetic revivalist, global evangelist. Janine, that song you just sang was anointed, and as the Word teaches us, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. But this would just be the beginning for you. Take us up to the time now when you are 21, you're in college, you are in a backslidden state at this point. Tell us what happened next.
Well, you know, Jency, I really don't know what happened other than, you know, I got baptized in that water at 11, but no one talked to me about discipleship. No one told me that the Christian life was one where you had to make Jesus Lord of your life, that he had to make the decisions. You were not the captain of your own ship. You didn't do whatever you wanted to do. You were bought with the price, and that a relationship had to be cultivated daily. It was a walk with God. And even that studying the Word of God, you know, that God talked to you through his Word. So after I got saved, I backslid very, very quickly, coming to the University of Michigan now, going to college, and wondering, where is God? I mean, is there a real God? And I remember walking outside the University of Michigan where I was studying opera, and I screamed at the sun and the moon and the stars. I was taking all different religions at that time, which was part of my curriculum. And I said, "If there really is a God, show me who you are. Can you change my life? Can you take away my emptiness? Can you cleanse me? You know, can you help me? I need help. Do you love me? Am I alone? Because I felt like I was a one person that was alone in the midst of millions of people. And I told God, I just said, if you're really real, show yourself to me. And a few weeks later, a woman invited me to a campus meeting at the University of Michigan on North Campus called Campus Crusade. And I started going, and they were teaching sessions, and they would study the Word of God. And I was just amazed. I came that, you know, God would speak through His Word, and I learned things I never learned about Jesus. And I enjoyed coming. I was coming every week and saying, wow, this is wonderful. I started feeling alive, so I didn't have to get saved again. I was already saved. But I rededicated my life to the Lord in those teachings. And then they got on the subject called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they said that was speaking in tongues, and I said, oh, I'm out of here, because all I remember was my dad had told me, you know, tongues is from the devil, and I knew not to have any part of that. So I left. I stopped coming. And 4 weeks later, I heard a knock on my door in my dorm room, and I opened the door, and it was the leaders of Campus Crusade. Some of the leaders, they noticed that I had not been there for 4 weeks. And then they said, Janine, you know, we know that you haven't been there, and we just want to know if there's anything we can pray for you about. And I go, no, I said, I'm just not interested anymore. And they go, well, you know, we noticed that you left when we were doing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, yes, I did. And I said, I don't have any time to do anything that's false doctrine, and I will not have any kind of demonic thing come on me, and I don't want to hear any more about this. And I slammed the door on them, and I'm glad that they had the love of God in them, because they knocked again and perseverance.
Amen.
And they knocked again, and I go, yes. And they go, well, we won't talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We really will respect your views on that. And I said, thank you. They said, but we do feel that the Holy Spirit wanted us to talk to you today and just to pray for you. He has a blessing for you. He wants to bless you, and he has some gifts for you. I said, you got some gifts? And they go, yeah. And I thought they might have something in their bag, you know, to give me, you know, some lotion, perfume. I said, right. Okay, well, come on in. So I let them come in, and they said they would just pray for me. And I said, okay, you can pray for me, but I don't want you to talk to me about that tongues. And they promised me they wouldn't. So they took my hand, and they started going, praying in tongues, shikimi stuff. And I said, didn't I tell you not to talk that shikimi stuff in here? And they go, oh, well, you told us that you didn't want us to tell you about it or to have you pray in tongues, but you didn't say that we couldn't pray in tongues.
Janine, we're going to leave it right there. We're going to pick up next week to listen to your incredible story, to hear more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment, but I want to thank you for being with us on Testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Janine Fox, prophetic revivalist, teacher, preacher who has traveled the globe and witnessed the miracles of God, and she is here to share with us how you too can be empowered from on high for Jesus Christ. Janine, thank you for being with us. We look forward to you speaking with us next week on Testimony.
It's been great to be with you.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony. She is the spiritual daughter of Charles and Frances Hunter, known for their worldwide healing ministry. She has preached the gospel throughout the United Kingdom, Europe, Asia, the Middle East, and North America, and was a catalyst for the Putin revival that swept throughout the Netherlands in 1998, where multitudes were saved and healed from incurable diseases, and a nation was impacted forever with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where does this one-time Southern Baptist girl get her passion? You are about to hear in part two of my conversation with prophetic revivalist, preacher, speaker, and founder and president of Fullness Ministries, based out of Dallas, Texas, and my good friend, Miss Jeanine Dante Fox. Jeanine, welcome back to Testimony.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Jeanine, before we begin, you have an unusual name. We didn't talk about that in our first conversation, but it sounds French. Can you tell us a little background, a little of your history, your culture?
Well, I'm a Black American and also American Indian. And my father just wanted a French name, so he spelled it J-U-E-N-N-I-N-E instead of J-E-U-N, which is how it's supposed to be spelled. So it's quite unusual, but I like it.
Well, it's beautiful and it's unique, just as you are. Jeanine, in part one of our conversation last week, you shared how God showed up in miraculous ways to truly call you to himself.
Yes.
And how the baptism of the Holy Spirit literally changed your life and propelled you into what you are now doing. So I'd like to take us back to that place where you literally got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then let's talk about your ministry, your teaching, your preaching, and the signs and wonders that have followed, and in particular, the story of a woman that was literally raised from the dead. Jeanine, tell us that story.
Well, I'm in that dorm room, and these two people are taking my hands from Campus Crusade to pray for me. And they said, well, you didn't tell us that we couldn't speak in tongues. So they started speaking in tongues, and all I knew is that something began to well up within me because it was as if they were making intercession for me. I had a lot going on in my life, a lot of disappointments, a lot of fear, a lot of pain, and that all started coming up when they were speaking in tongues. There was power in those strange words, and I started welling up to cry, and I just broke down and cried, and they put their arms around me and hugged me, and as I'm tears are going down my eyes, as they're crying, praying for me in tongues, and I'm crying, I just start, open up my mouth, and I go, and I start speaking in tongues in a fluent language, and I didn't even want it.
Amen.
That's God filled me with the Spirit, but I tell you, it transformed my life. I talked to God till 4 o'clock in the morning, and I've realized, my goodness, the communication, the void, the wall of separation has been broken. Now I can talk to God, everything I want to say, express it in his own language. I was free. I recognized that I could feel God's presence more, that when I opened my Bible, I could understand it. It was no longer decoded, a mystery. It was just like God was speaking to me plain, very plainly, face to face. I began to have an understanding of his ways, and I intimately became acquainted with him, which much so much that I knew that I had not asked him to be Lord of my life, and I resurrendered my life to him and said, Lord, you take over. You do whatever you want to do. I want to be in your perfect will. And my worship and my intimacy with God went to a whole new level. It totally transformed my life, and my life changed from that moment, from being carnal, from being one who didn't have power over her flesh, to being one having power and control to be able to say no to sin.
Jeanine, what would you say to our listening audience that does not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You came from a Southern Baptist church. It was not taught there. It is clear in the scripture that that is available to every Christian, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do you describe that experience to someone who doesn't believe?
Well, I describe it as you know, having a car with the battery inside, but the battery's dead. You can't go anywhere. Or having a car with a gas tank, but you haven't filled it with gas. You can't go anywhere. You know, Jesus told the disciples to wait for the power, because they would be filled with power, and that power would enable them to be a witness in all of the world. And we cannot be empowered in our Christian walk to have power over our flesh, to have power over the devil, unless we have power from God. And when you get saved, Jesus is in your heart. But when you get filled with his Holy Spirit, he fills you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet with his power. The same power, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And I just believe the word. I believe that every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I believe we have to believe that every word of God is inspired. But what are we serving God for if we take some parts here and take some parts there and think some parts are from God and some parts aren't? I want the whole thing. And my Bible says in Mark 16:15 that those who believe shall lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and that those who believe in Christ shall speak with new tongues. Well, I'm a believer. I don't know about you, but I had to come to the point to know that I'm a believer. This just wasn't for Peter, James, and John and the disciples, but it's for every believer worldwide. And that's why when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost and they were empowered, that the gospel was spread right around the world, because those people on the day of Pentecost represented every nation, every tongue, every tribe who were there coming to Jerusalem for Passover. So it's because the gospel is for every nation, every people worldwide, and the gospel we must be empowered to preach the gospel around the world. And so it said it in Mark 16:15 and 16:17, speak with new tongues. Paul said, I speak more than you all, and there's such divine revelation that comes, and that we know the perfect will of God. God downloads it in our spirit as we pray and commune with him and pray in his language. He'll download our purpose, his plan, and every single thing that we need to know, we'll fully know, because we'll have the mind of Christ, his mind instead of our own.
Amen, Janine, and I am a believer, and that is one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the testimony program. As Revelation 12:11 teaches us, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And
yes,
the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power, and that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We are about to experience Resurrection Sunday, and you have a resurrection testimony that actually propelled you into the ministry that you are doing today. I want you to tell our audience and our few minutes remaining here what happened that day and that woman that was once dead who came back to life. Tell us that, Janine.
Well, I went into computer programming in New York City years later, after I went to Bible school, because I couldn't get any jobs to preach anywhere in any churches in New York. Everyone was saying no, and the doors were being shut. And I wondered why I had went to Bible school. I believed that God had given me a healing ministry. But after getting so many doors slammed on me, I got disappointed. And most Christians do at some point in their life. And I went into computer programming trying to have another way. And I got in with flying colors, not because I was brilliant, but just because I passed the test, and I said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I made a mistake. I mean, somehow I just got a high grade on that test. I got a scholarship, but my life died. And for 6 months, I wasn't reading my Bible. For 6 months, I wasn't going to church anymore. I wasn't doing my Bible study for the Salvation Army. All my time was trying to keep up in this computer programming school. I met a man there who just swept me off my feet. He was a Muslim man. And I started to like him. He was very handsome. He wanted to marry me. I ended up thinking I should go to his Muslim mask. I mean, I was really, really losing my mind. And also, my discernment just totally left me, because I said, God, I want to do it my way. So God stepped aside and let me.
Mm-hmm.
And when he asked me to marry him, I was thinking about it until he told me he had some other wives in Iraq. So I quickly changed my mind on that one. And that's what woke me up. I cried all night when I realized, look how far I've fallen. I mean, I was getting ready to marry a Muslim man. We're all black. I haven't been to church in 6 months, haven't read my Bible in 6 months. I'm failing out of computer programming school. And I cried and I said, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know, save me, Lord. Forgive me for betraying you. Forgive me for disappointing you. And he said, Janine, whose program do you want, yours or mine? And I said, yours, Lord. He said, well, drop out of computer programming school, because I've called you to preach the gospel. This is not the way I want you to go. So the next morning I called. I dropped out of computer programming school. At the time I worked on 39th and 3rd Avenue, on Park Avenue in New York City. And I was a receptionist there, so I worked full-time and went to computer school. And I went, told everybody at work the next morning, I've dropped out of computer programming school. They thought I was crazy. But I was happy. I was happy because I was walking in the perfect center of God's will, and the Lord had restored me. He had forgiven me. His love had come to me once I confessed my sin. He was faithful and just to forgive me. And I had joy because I knew I was right with God. But something happened, Jensing, at that receptionist desk the next morning. The next morning as I'm sitting there, I start to shake violently at the reception desk, and my teeth start to gnash. I didn't know what was happening to me. I got pain all over my body, and I felt like I was going to die. hot flashes, and my stomach was hurting. And my boss walked down and said, "Jean, you look terrible. You look awful." She said, Do I need to get an ambulance? Are you okay?" I said, "I feel so sick. I feel like I'm going to just faint, like I'm going to die." She says, "Let me call an ambulance." I said, no, I'll be fine." So I went home on my own. I managed to get home with so much pain racking through my body. I took the train to my apartment on 39th and 3rd Avenue, where I lived in a women's residence. I barely made it there. I could hardly walk. I was going to go upstairs to the 14th floor where I lived and take an aspirin and just forget this whole nightmare. I started rebuking the devil, commanding the sickness to leave me. Nothing happened. And even though I was right with God, I knew I had authority, but the pain wouldn't leave. And when I got into the lobby of this women's residence, there was another emergency that seemed to be larger than mine. People were running around frantic. And I was saying, "What's going on? What's going on?" They said, "A woman's died. A woman's died. She's been dead for 20 to 30 minutes, and the ambulance has gotten stuck in New York traffic." So I asked who she was, and they said her name was Agnes, and I knew I didn't know her. So I went to the elevator. I pushed the button for me to get in, and all I did was pray a prayer in my heart. "Lord, I just pray that Agnes knew you and that she didn't go to hell. I just pray that she knew you." And I got in that elevator by myself, leaned against the wall, ready to feel like I'm going to lose it, asking God to give me the strength to get to the 14th floor. That elevator started going up to the 14th floor, and I heard the Lord say, "Raise the lady from the dead." And so that's basically what happened. The elevator started going down very, very quickly, and the doors opened, and I went and I prayed for that woman, and she was literally raised from the dead. And that totally transformed my ministry. When God used me in a backslidden state to pray for a woman who was raised from the dead, I didn't do it because of anything in me, but it was Christ in me, the hope of glory, and through obedience. And his power came out of me because Christ lives in us. And he is the resurrection, and he is the life for those who believe.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Jeanine Fox of FullnessMinistries.org. You can hear more about Jeanine's life, learn more about her witness by going to www.FullnessMinistries.org. Or calling Jeanine at 877-838-5637. Jeanine, God bless you for your tremendous testimony, your witness of him. We look forward to having you back on Testimony. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JenSinebard.com, or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.